white shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is Dave Freeland, your host on Sounds of Joy, inviting you to listen Sunday mornings at 6 on WCNO FM.
Fifth Street Pharmacy of Okeechobee is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Longtime pharmacists Blair Coolwin and Tom Bimbo, along with their dedicated staff, pride themselves on fast and friendly service, providing you a pharmacy experience with the personal touch that you deserve. Fifth Street Pharmacy is located on the corner of Northwest Fifth Street and 2nd Avenue, behind Napa Auto Parts. Most insurance plans are accepted, and they provide a drive-up window for your convenience.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarvis, your host for the Revealing Truth Radio Broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Grab a pen and take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
The promise of the last days did not begin in 1948 or 1967. That's not when it started. The promise of the last days began in Acts chapter 2 with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the church and the founding of the church during Pentecost on the feast of that day. And when Pentecost happened, the last days began. And I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers preaching the other day on the radio. He said, "I don't get what all these Seventh-day people were about. I don't get it." He said it was on the first day that Jesus rose from the dead. It was on the first day that they had Pentecost. It was on the first day that the Holy Ghost came in power. It was on the first day they preached the gospel. He said, "Don't you think God's trying to tell us something about the first day?" That's why we have church on the first day, not the seventh day. Because the first day is the first day of your week. You're supposed to rest on the seventh day. That's Saturday. That's when you take the family fishing. That's when you have a picnic. But it's on the first day you spend time with the Lord and get ready for the week. Come on, somebody. Somebody say it's about the first day. Why are you going to wait till the end of the week to check with God when you can check with Him at the beginning of the week? I know I'm messing with somebody's theology. What we need to do is we need to have an understanding between last days and last things. Because there's a lot of last things that are taking place. Amen. There are some things that began in the last days, meaning the latter days, or the days of the new covenant manifestation, or the things that are taking place now. There are the latter days from the Old Testament, and that's what the prophets understood when they prophesied in the Old Testament. But how many of you know that today the weakest believer in the church has more revelation than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament? The newest Christian in the country this morning on Sunday morning has more comprehension of what the kingdom is really all about than Isaiah ever had. Because back then, in the former days, they saw through a glass very dimly. They only saw a portion of what we experience. See, we experience the love of God. We experience the relationship with Christ. We experience blood that only has to be shed one time. Amen? And we receive the benefits of what Jesus did. They only had a part of the message, but we get to see the whole thing. So when they begin to prophesy about a coming day, they recognize that there was a day coming after that day. And that would be the latter day. Somebody say the latter day or the last day. So we recognize that last days begins with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amos also prophesied what Micah prophesied, that in the last days they would begin to rebuild the tabernacle of David, or the booth of David will be lifted up. What's he mean when he says that? You know, so many people got this thing in their heart and their minds that they're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and we got to rebuild. You know, Jesus ain't coming back. We ain't going to have the rapture until they get the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. Well, who really cares? I mean, do we? I'm happy if they build it, and I'm happy if they don't. I kind of hope they do build it. I think it'd be cool to go see it. It'd be awesome for them to rebuild it. But did you know that they're breeding this special red heifers? over there to begin starting doing sacrifices when they rebuild Solomon's temple. And we got TV evangelists over there looking for the foundational cornerstones of the, we're going to rebuild the temple. Well, go ahead and rebuild that sucker. I think it'd be cool. Listen, I don't care what your theology is or how you've come to believe what you believe, but let me just say this to you. Israel is not going to be saved by blood, the blood of red heifers flowing in the temple of Solomon. Israel's going to be saved by the blood of Jesus. They're going to come to God just like you and I come to God, through the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm going to come into the kingdom through Jesus, and if they want to come into the kingdom, they're going to have to come through Jesus. And nobody, including the Jews, comes to the Father but through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father but by me. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've been taught. If you ain't coming through Jesus, you ain't coming at all. It's His blood. I don't care what them heifers taste like. They ain't nobody getting into heaven through ceremonial worship. They got to come through the cross. They're going to have to come through the same blood that you and I come from. So can I just say this to you? It makes no difference whether they rebuild the temple or they don't rebuild it. The fact of the matter is that the true prophetic word was not that they would rebuild Solomon's temple, but that they would raise up a fallen booth of David. Amen. There's a spiritual picture that's being painted here this morning. And the fallen booth of David was not the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem, but it was a tabernacle of David that sat on the hill of Zion. The place where He brought the Mosaic tabernacle into a new revelation, a new understanding. Listen to me. Listen. Don't miss what I'm about to tell you. We relate to Adam racially. We draw our foundation from Abraham spiritually, but we relate to David nationally. It's a kingdom mentality. I'll try it again. We relate to Adam racially. How many of you know everybody in this house this morning is linked to Adam through race? We're all related. So if I call you brother and I call you sister, it's not religious jargon. You're a human being. We all come from Adam. Come on now. That's why it's just stupid to be prejudiced. Your father says, if you hate your brother, how are you going to get into heaven? I don't care what color their skin is. Come on now. So we relate to Adam racially. We relate to Abraham spiritually. He's the father of our faith. You can study this in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. They lay it all out. All three of these are mentioned. We are of Adam's race. We are of Abraham's faith. But the holy nation is part of the seed of David, who shall have a throne from which there will never be an end. Come on, you're part of that kingdom. Did you know that David is the only Old Testament person that really had a New Testament revelation of what worship was all about? He was the only man that really fully understood kingdom theology, and that there was a kingdom of God that was coming that would rule forever. He had a kingdom mentality because as the king, he brought the presence of God back to the center of his kingdom, and he put it on a hill called Zion, a place of praise, a place of worship, a place of intimacy. Amen? And he's the only New Testament king that defeated every foe on every board. Order. In other words, he didn't have no enemies because he crushed them all. Come on, how many know that's my king? The Bible says that during the reign of David, when he came into full reign, there was peace on every border. In other words, it was a picture of a kingdom that had no adversary. None. None could stand against it. None could war against it. None could come against it. Every kingdom that came against God's kingdom would bow and kneel before the awesomeness of that kingdom. The prophets came afterwards and prophesied that the throne of David, there shall never lack for one to sit on it. And he will sit there, and the scepter shall always be in his hand. Somebody say always. How many know God is ruling and reigning today? And he will rule and reign forever. Forever and ever. Amen. Jesus came. He came not only as the seed of woman, but he came as the seed of David. In fact, when blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road, he heard that Jesus was coming by, and he didn't say, Jesus, son of God. He didn't say, Jesus, son of Joseph, Jesus, son of Mary. He cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that he was the king that was supposed to be on that throne, and nobody didn't tell him that. Nobody didn't teach him that. It came by divine revelation. Hallelujah. Come on now. Why? Because God was raising up a man. Shiloh had come. The presence of God had come, who's now going to sit on the throne of his father David. How many are glad that Jesus is on the throne? But it was no longer going to be a natural throne. It was going to be a spiritual throne. Because the kingdom wasn't a natural kingdom. It was a spiritual kingdom. Come on, talk to me, somebody, this morning. A spiritual kingdom. So when David restored Zion, watch this. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, you know the story. Y'all know the story about how he brought the Ark back. The Bible says that he danced before the Lord. And for 20 years, Saul had been king. He looked like a king, talked like a king, dressed like a king, acted like a king. He was head and shoulders above everybody else in the nation of Israel. The only problem was is he didn't have a heart after the king. He had a heart for his own stuff. He didn't follow God. He wanted position without presence. Come on, that is a sickness in the church today. Position without presence. He was content to have position without presence. And what did Saul do? He went through formalities of worship for almost 20 years as the king of Israel. He was content to have worship, have a worship center, and an ark that was being held hostile in a hostile territory far away. Worshipping where the presence of God even wasn't. For 20 years, the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant all the way back from the days when Eli, the spirit of religion, when religion had lost its sight, when religion become a glutton and become fat and overweight and became blind and did not discipline its sons and did not teach the covenant of Abraham to its son. It fell over backwards and broke its back and broke its neck, and Ichabod was written over the doorpost from outside the house, which means the glory of God had departed from this place. And guess what? The Philistines got it, and they took it to their homeland, and they said, we're going to put this in our temple with our god Dagon. And they put it up, set it up in there. And you know the story in the temple of Dagon. They showed up the next day, and Dagon had fell over. And they went, Dagon. They stood him back up, and the night passed again. They went back the next day. Dagon had fallen over again, and his hands and feet were cut off. And the Philistines said to each other, we better get the Ark of the Covenant out of this place, because if we leave the Ark of the Covenant here, we ain't going to have a nation no more. So they put the Ark of the Covenant on two milk cows, on a cart with two milk cows, and they hit the cows on the rump, and the cows took it all the way back to the land of Israel. I mean, that's today, two milk cows led by the Holy Ghost. Did what man wouldn't do. If God can use two milk cows, he can use you. Come on now. And on the way back, it stopped at Abinadab's house, and that's where it sat for 20 years. And you know what? Saul never went after it. He never pursued God. He never pursued the presence of God. He never sought it out. He never had a passion for it anymore. Listen to me very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, in this church. We cannot pursue structure without presence. We cannot pursue all the adornments of a kingdom and all the religiosity of a kingdom without the king in the middle of it. He's got to be on the throne of our hearts. Because if we try to do it that way, we'll just end up with formality. We'll end up with ritualistic worship and structure, and we'll do nothing more than kill people when they come into the presence of God with our own ideals and our own understanding and our own knowledge of what we think God. Is anybody hearing me today? We must be people that are pursuing the presence of God. And then we make the structure fit the move. That's what real people of faith do. Rather than making the move of God fit the structure, which you see all the time. People doing dumb stuff and calling it God.
Thank you for joining us today for the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. We hope you will tune in again each day, Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. To obtain your copy of this week's message, please send your check for $5 for shipping and handling to 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. To pay by phone or simply make a love gift, you can call 772-461-8555. That number again is 772-461-8555. For more exciting information on our church, service times, and directions, you can check us out on the web at igniteyourworld.com. This has been The Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner, and I'm your host, Bob Tarbes. See you next time on The Revealing Truth.
I'm Joyce Meyer, inviting you to join me right here on Enjoying Everyday Life, where I give you easy and practical ways to live a life you truly love.
Joyce Meyer is heard at 7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday here on WCNO.
Sky alive with praise, melting dark. is light forevermore in Jesus' saves. He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Could ever take out. Jesus on the radio, Jesus on a late night show, Jesus in a dream, looking all serene. Jesus on a steeple, Jesus in the Gallup polls, Jesus has his very own brand of rock and roll. Watched him on the silver screen, bought the action figurine. Jesus is the only name that makes you flinch. Oh, can anybody show me the real Jesus? Oh, let your love unveil the mystery of the real Jesus. Jesus started something new. Jesus coined a phrase or two. Jesus split the line at the turning point of time. Jesus sparked a controversy. Jesus, known for his mercy, gave a man his sight. Oh, Jesus isn't white. Jesus loves the children, holds the lambs. Jesus prays a lot. Jesus has distinguishing marks.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Family Matters, a daily look inside the real world of parents and their children. I'm your host,